Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Rancher Government Solutions. Here's your moderator.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Federal Insights. I'm Eric White. For large federal agencies, the mainframe slash data center model of computing has given way to the hybrid multi-cloud model. Many smaller agencies have moved to a purely cloud approach. The next trend relates to the workloads themselves. Agency IT practitioners are also moving past virtualization as they seek fast, more elastic methods to manage portable workloads. They want to incorporate edge computing, where needed, to augment clouds and data centers with lightweight but fully functioning applications. The Army is one of the federal entities at the forefront of this idea. To learn more about it, Federal News Network's Jason Miller spoke to Paul Puckett, director of the Army Cloud Management Agency and the Office of the CIO.
When you design systems for a fixed environment like a data center that has limited physical space, limited power, space, and cooling, right? Especially when it comes to how we typically have to acquire physical hardware from a compute and storage perspective and go in, have it delivered, hook it all up, configure it, get it accredited for use, all of those different pieces, that lead time is long. And we also want to have the greatest discount of the buy. And so the way the DoD has typically acquired systems in a fixed environment like a data center requires all of that upfront, I would say, prophecy as to what that investment needs to look like and what those resources need to look like from a compute and storage perspective. But the problem with essentially copying and pasting that into a cloud environment is you may find that you are estimating and therefore being provisioned resources that you will never use. And this pivot is critical for when it comes to how we buy cloud as a utility. The NDAA called this out. We need to stop buying, computing infrastructure, storage infrastructure, like this fixed thing in a data center. We need to start designing systems and services that are intended as a distributed architecture, that are intended to leverage elastic scalability, one of the core components of what differentiates cloud computing from typical on-premise compute. Like, these design patterns need to be employed. So I would push back if someone said, well, hey, the problem with this model is I have an issue with estimating precisely what the future looks like. You're right, you do. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to come with a design that leverages every single capability of the cloud to enhance the way that my mission is executed. I want you to leverage autoscaling. I want you to leverage, ephemeral designs where things can come and go. That's okay. And the challenge that we have collectively then is how do we actually see what is delivering capabilities for the mission? How do we start to see kind of how that's being delivered and what those costs start to look like so we can make the right investments over time and how we consume the cloud? Because I would argue the model that we have where we estimate everything up front, we spend all of that money up front and then never use the resources. We are paying money on the actual physical infrastructure we never use. We're paying money on the people to maintain both the physical as well as the virtual environment, as well as the security concerns within that virtual environment that may become security risk, again, for computing storage resources that we never use. And it's also taking up precious space within our data centers that could be for the absolutely critical services that should run in an on-premise private cloud environment. And so it's back to, I think, how the DoD puts quote requirements out there. Is oftentimes we say, hey, the requirement is for X to come with an explicit, design of exactly how much compute you're going to need in a worst case scenario. And that's where we actually need the best partnerships is with, integrators and resellers to say, hey, this is actually how you should be putting out requirements that allows us to leverage the cloud and have that flexibility over time to leverage even new services as they come online. We have to write better acquisitions that empowers integrators and resellers to go and, again, secure and build capabilities in the cloud that leverages cloud infrastructure to the greatest extent possible.
I've heard that time and again over the years that the agencies would plan for the rainy day scenario. Well, in the worst case, we would need 1,000 servers, but we really, most cases, we need 100. But you got to have that 1,000 just in case, because if you needed one, you needed one and you couldn't wait 6 months or whatever it took to get it in. With the cloud, obviously, you don't need to do that, but that can be built into the requirements from a full stack perspective to say, oh, we're going to start at 10 VMs, and then over time, we'll have the ability to increase by fives or twos or however it is as we see the need increase. But from your perspective, I imagine that means, well, what do you pay for? Because acquisitions and the way funding works is you don't pay by the drink anyways. That's a huge problem. That's a whole different discussion you and I could have. But is that also part of it? Is you can't say to the SI, I will pay for up to 100 VMs and here's the money up front, because you're still paying for capabilities you may never use. I mean, that's part of the problem here too.
Yeah, well, it is. So again, but that's more of an issue and a challenge, I would say, in the older model for how we would buy cloud infrastructure. Is again, if, like, for instance, if it was a firm fixed price capability, all that investment would be upfront. And whether we were effective or not with how we consume infrastructure was almost irrelevant at that point. But then our ability to go and report to Congress, hey, what was your investment in cloud infrastructure versus your investment in labor of an integrator versus your investment in software? I almost have no ability to articulate that differentiation in that model. So again, I would change the actual metrics of success. We should not be dictating you need 10 virtual machines. We should be dictating, hey, here are the service level objectives, right? Here are the service level agreements. Here's the actual SLAs. Here's the actual availability and a percentage of these critical services. Here's the time that it needs to be for me to be able to process some data and then execute some decision. By starting to put out parameters of how we want to function and operate, what our objectives of a mission are, we actually create space and room for the technical design that'll deliver that service. Someone in the Army was actually telling me about, there's a requirement that they have to field 22 servers with very specific computing parameters to every single entity across the Army to process a mission. And we'd actually be able to spend a crazy less amount of money if we delivered a persistent cloud capability and then fielded the delta of actual physical resources. But the requirement says everybody gets 22 servers. So that we have to change essentially the metrics and the parameters when it comes to how we measure the success of the objectives that we intend to achieve with any mission capability. This gets into, I want you to deliver a service that essentially has 3 nines or 4 nines of availability. It's no longer going to be, you're going to maintain a primary and then you're going to maintain a coop environment that has, 300 miles of separation between the two. Start to get to actually the metrics that I would argue the commercial world starts to leverage, right, in a capability, because then you leave space and room for, as technology changes, new capabilities come online, how you can actually invest in the newest and greatest to enable and enhance your mission. And that, again, doubles down on, if I can get better projections for the infrastructure that I need, not what I think might happen, but the actual point in time need and how I need to scale, I'm actually creating much more room to allow an integrator and a reseller to be able to come with better designs as to how I can enhance capability over time. Because we've seen that there's more room when it comes to investing in the labor and the software that enhances our mission, rather than, again, an investment in infrastructure that we end up never using.
A lot of the discussion so far talking about this change that DISA is helping to push forward with through JWCC. In many ways, what DISA is doing, the model they're using for JWCC is something that the Army has been using since, I guess, when you go back to February 2020, that strategy for Sea Army. Help me understand how the Army has changed the way it's buying cloud. How does this model work? And what's, if you're now building that widget for the Army, how do the two pieces fit together? Meaning that the cloud piece that the Army is buying, and then the widget piece that you're also buying from the integrator or the reseller.
Yeah, so I'll break it down. So part of this model was informed by some of the lessons learned that I'll say from my time over in the intelligence community. Because at the time, we were still buying services as a kind of a fixed resource, albeit at an on-demand price. And a lot of, again, designs that we were kind of lifting and shifting into a cloud environment were designed for a fixed architecture rather than leveraging cloud infrastructure at scale. You know, this was an informed decision for how we want to buy, how we want to secure, and how we want to build capabilities. So the way that it works is, you've essentially, and for instance, I'll just model what JWCC intends to be, is the government owns the contractual relationship, the legal relationship with the hyperscalers or a reseller if they choose to enable that structure on the hyperscaler side. But there's that market opportunity across the entire DoD of what that buy could look like. that actually helps then a hyperscaler project, here's what my rates look like. And they're able to compete against each other for what those rates look like. We would still let an acquisition to an integrator that says, hey, we want you to build a widget, but we are going to broker the relationship for how you get an account within a hyperscaler. That's the buying side. So we are going to provide for you the contractual means by which you, on behalf of the government, are building a capability in the cloud, and then how your program office is going to pay your bill with a hyperscaler through our agreement for buying cloud that we leverage, that we call CAMA. And then you're going to do it within an already accredited and secure cloud environment that we call CArmy, right? So that's the way that those three pieces fit together. We have it templatized in our all of our new acquisitions that want to go out and build a capability, quote, in the cloud, have these in the T's and C's that says, hey, the way that you're going to essentially buy, you know, cloud infrastructure is going to be through our relationship with the CSPs, not your own corporate relationship or you going to a reseller. The environment in which you are going to build your, you know, your awesome, great capability for the mission is going to be in our secure cloud environment called CArmy. Because we believe that one, security is paramount for how we're building capabilities in the cloud. But two, we want those hooks into the enterprise way of doing business that actually allows you to be seen part of a greater, you know, ecosystem of the Army, let alone even the DoD, right? Like too often the way that people were building and securing a cloud environment were like these little mini enclaves that only talk to themselves or maybe the programs that they needed to talk to. We need to start to expose more and more of these things as a service so that, you know, if we land out great value for the Army and there's utility for reuse of that capability as a service across the DoD, we want it accessible. We want it secure. We want it routable. We want all of those things so that others can leverage that capability rather than having to rebuild their own things simply because of how we contracted the capability or how we actually, you know, designed and secured the capability. We templatize it, we manage the relationships, and then we let the integrator essentially come with the best design, leveraging the best CSP. And part of that down select is how then that capability comes to be within the ecosystem.
That's Paul Puckett, director of the Army Cloud Management Agency in the office of the CIO, speaking there with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. We'll have more from this interview after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
When security, speed, and scale are essential to your mission success, you need a partner who can deliver certified, open source, and cloud-native software solutions to the U.S. government. Rancher Government Solutions RKE2 Kubernetes Distribution provides clients the security and ease of use, whether in the cloud, on-premises, or at the edge. Rancher delivers a full-stack solution and ecosystem of capabilities for your agency, while adhering to the robust security requirements of the U.S. government. Learn more at SUSARGS.com.
We continue our interview with Paul Puckett, director of the Army Cloud Management Agency in the office of the CIO, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
Would you walk me through maybe a recent acquisition? Obviously, you can anonymize the who, the what, the when, the how. But if Army puts out a requirement for widget one, the integrators then do what? And they come to you and say, we want to build it on Cloud X. Walk me through it that way a little bit. Because what I think is missing here is the understanding that, okay, so if I want to use AWS or Azure or Google, I have access through you, but I need to tell you what I want. Like it seems like from an outsider's perspective, it seems like you're, for lack of a better word, wow, that's a lot of extra work, but maybe it's not. So maybe if you could put it in real terms, that I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. So I'll break it down. So when it comes to a new acquisition, we say, hey, integrator, we want you to go and design the best mission capability and solution, partner with whatever resellers, you know, whatever that value add looks like, that's great. Come with a design, come with a CSP in mind, or even a hybrid cloud architecture in mind. Like we want you to employ the best of the best, because what we need to acknowledge is, you know, integrators kind of start to have their own people that are enabled in some clouds, you know, hyperscalers versus others, right? We shouldn't ignore that fact. You know, far too often I hear every single integrator is, you know, cloud agnostic. And that's just in reality, that's not true. I want people to tap into their great people and their skill sets that they have. And if they think that a capability needs to employ a hybrid model for on-premise as well as public, leveraging a myriad of CSPs, we want to see that in their design. But all part of the acquisition process of selecting, you know, depending on the contract, the best value, hopefully not lowest price technically acceptable. Like the things that actually get after the objectives that we have, we want integrators to come with their design and compete against each other for their great ability to build a capability leveraging cloud services. And we want that to be where the competition lies. We don't want to see, you know, the government having these weird feelings and opinions of one CSP or another like that. We want essentially the community, right, integrators to come with what is the best design. But simply saying is, hey, depending on what CSPs you choose, you know, we have these brokered relationships with these that we believe meets the parameters of being able to support the DoD mission with the appropriate specifications, right? You see that in some of the selection criteria for JWCC. You know, but if say there's one that they believe is a critical capability that's not part of that relationship, I think part of that opportunity is then to be able to see why do you believe that it's capable of being accredited, being able to be secured, being able to meet DoD parameters. We always want to leave appropriate room open. But that saying is saying, hey, here are the relationships we have, here are the rates that we have, come with your best architecture. And as part of that, you know, evaluation criteria, the best, hopefully the best solution is chosen. And then we simply broker their access to the accounts that the government owns for the CSPs that, you know, were part of their design, and the secure landing zones within those, you know, commercial cloud environments that would be equivalent to C-Army. That's how we do it for the Army today. And so it's simply saying is we have these, you know, these relationships, but we want you to come with a great design. It's almost akin to kind of the type of, you know, relationship of like an enterprise license agreement that you have, right? Like these common and kind of, you know, services and software that we have kind of a greater enterprise relationship with is, you know, we have those relationships established, and like those are simply ELAs that then any new acquisition is capable of kind of aligning under and then leveraging.
All right, I appreciate that. And that's helpful because I think, again, it goes back to understanding your process, how it works, how it all fits together. So C-Army is now, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, about a year and a half and maybe pushing almost 2 years. You said February 2020 was you launched strategies. So let's talk about some of the progress you're making, some of the changes that you've seen and how you're buying cloud, how you understand how that process works. Maybe just give me a little bit of the statistics because you offered the one earlier about the ability to move to the cloud. It used to be 9 to 12 months. Now you can do it in weeks to get capabilities to the warfighter.
Yeah. So there's a few different ways to unpack some of the successes. So for instance, the utility and the value of having a secure cloud ecosystem that is already accredited, right? Meets the current design of the secure cloud computing architecture, provides all of those components as a common service, reusable service for entities. And then also understanding how systems are designed and built in the cloud, tools and processes and hooks across the enterprise of the Army to accelerate how people adopt the cloud, whether that's, you know, scripting the actual deployment of the actual environment in which they're going to build, to all the enabling services for access, credentialing, hooks into other components for patching services, data services. All of those are simply capabilities of C-Army today. And really the kind of the first opportunity was shortly after presenting that strategy in a partnership with the Office of Business Transformation. And together we were able to move their ERPs leveraging of the cloud left about 3 months. We were also able to avoid spending $8 million when it comes to adopting those services. And really that was kind of customer number one in a partnership that we established with the Army Analytics Group in providing C-Army as an ecosystem. We're seeing kind of similar speed and adoption. For instance, our ability to support in Project Convergence 21 was leveraging a relationship that we had with the 82nd Airborne, as well as ATEC, and their ability to leverage C-Army Azure on the secret side and be able to actually employ Azure Stack capabilities at the edge, collecting data and learning from Project Convergence 21, and then being able to share that data back with the persistent cloud capability that we have in C-Army Azure Secret as part of a partnership that we have with AFC and the DDSD. And they wouldn't have had the ability to essentially fold into the already accredited ecosystem. They would have to start from scratch for some kind of, you know, ATO package for the things that they wanted to test. And we were able to simply say, hey, those baseline, you know, cloud services that you want to leverage, we're going to incorporate them as part of our accreditation package. And then you as a tenant get to inherit these capabilities and use them. And something that would have easily taken 6 to 9 months, even in experimentation space, was something that the collective team was able to get done in about 2 months in time for Project Convergence 21. And then just a recent conversation with one of our customers, you know, part of the point of moving to this utility model is to be able to see how you consume services, see now your architecture is designed that may be either responsible for the good or the bad of how you consume or don't consume those services, and then being able to optimize your design. And part of that optimization, one of the customers that I was just talking with last week said, with our tool that shows them how they're consuming cloud services with Cloud Tracker and our Camo agreement, they're going to be able to optimize their monthly cloud spend by $250,000. Like, our ability to be able to see how we're consuming cloud is so critical for us to then be able to optimize our systems. And again, in the fixed model that we had before, we would have never had that opportunity. And so that's why it's so invaluable for these to be common services across the enterprise, that we actually put the tools and the skill sets in the hands of our customers to optimize how they're actually consuming cloud services. And that's where we've seen, you know, not only the timeline shift to the left, not only like different mission capabilities and outcomes be enhanced, but also then for our investment into the cloud to be right-sized over time. So we can take those cost savings or that cost avoidance and push that into enhancing mission capabilities and actually delivering better solutions for our soldiers to change the way that we fight for the better.
Paul Puckett is director of the Army Cloud Management Agency in the Office of the CIO, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. You can find this interview on our website. Head to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Rancher Government Solutions on Federal News Network.